Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
In a little bit. And I've got quite a bit of scripture that I want to share with you today. But before we get to that, we're going to talk today about the triumphal entry. And there's a lot of symbolism. We're going to go through some of that symbolism, and then we're going to get to application. Now, this week, again, today, this is what the church celebrates as Palm Sunday. Now, Palm Sunday, of course, was a time that Jesus high-fived the Apostle James. That's why they call it Palm. That's not why they call it Palm Sunday. They call it Palm Sunday, of course, because that as Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, that the folks around us, we're going to read in a minute, they waved palm branches and they laid them down before Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. But as I thought about this, I want you to know this wasn't the first time that Jesus had entered Jerusalem. I mean, he'd grown up going to Jerusalem, and we know through the scriptures that there are several times that Jesus visited Jerusalem. So why was this one so different? For us to get an understanding of that, we need to look at John's account of the triumphal entry. And we read that in John chapter 12. And it is immediately preceded in John chapter 11 by a little event that was out of the ordinary. Perhaps you remember it. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. And I tell you what, that's a pretty amazing event. And one good reason that we can see this is that a bunch of people saw this happen. A lot of people saw Jesus. They witnessed Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. In fact, that is the setup to the entry of the triumphal entry. Let's read in John's account here in John chapter 11, verse 45 through 57. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app, please open them up. Again, this is just following Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. It says that many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." That's a pretty amazing statement right there. And John goes in to give us a little insight of what had just happened. In verse 51, he says, "He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God whom are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death." That's a pretty powerful statement there, gang. I mean, understand this. God uses the enemy of his son. I want you to know today that in the midst of all the chaos and craziness that we're enduring, God can use bad situations for his divine purpose. I want you to tuck that away in the back of your mind while we're going through this very, very strange time. Jesus is focusing on eternity. Jesus knows where this week ends up. He knows where this road leads. And he's okay with it because he has eternity in his mind. Now going on in verse 54, it says, "Jesus therefore no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness to a town called Ephraim, where he stayed there with his disciples. Now, the Passover of the Jews, dropping down to verse 55, okay? Now, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? That he will not come to the feast at all?" Okay, look, this is what you can't miss here. They were looking for Jesus to make an appearance. Okay, because he just proved his power over death. I got to tell you, at this time, people feared death. And certainly, that's what's going on in our lives right now. People are wigged out because they're afraid of death. Well, I want you to know that Jesus has power over death. Therefore, we don't need to fear. Would you follow somebody who had power over that which holds you captive by fear? I would think so. I know that we're in a global pandemic, and I understand that there's a lot of people who are afraid to die, and that's legitimate, but Jesus has power over death, okay? I can't overstate that fact enough. So I'm going to read verse 47, then we're going to drop down a few verses to get our focus of what's going on here. Now, the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him. Now, the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there. They came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made a plan to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away believing in Jesus. Gang, that's the setup for Palm Sunday. That's why there's such a crowd. That's why there's so much fervor around Jesus' entry. That's why, literally, they called out, "Hosanna," which means save us, okay? They were calling out, "Save us," as one who had power over death. The Jews were now under Roman rule. In fact, they are under Roman rule to the point of fear of death. And here comes Jesus, one who has power over that which held them captive. This is different than other times Jesus had come into Jerusalem, because now the power of Jesus is known on an entirely different level. And the timing of God's plan is drawing near. To use a phrase that we use a lot today, it just got real. It just got real. Now for us in Pike County, many people who I've spoken with over the past several weeks kind of felt like, oh, this was never coming here. COVID-19 was never coming to Pike County. And now that it has, for some people, it just got real. Some people have been acting as if this is no big deal and we didn't need to practice social distancing and we really didn't need to take this seriously. And now that it has knocked on the doorstep of our community, we're saying, well, now this just got real. But I want you to know something. Nothing has changed from before to now, because God is still in control. And God is greater. And the potential of God to save us remains the same. Now let's look at and read the entry to Jerusalem with the understanding that two forces are at work. The power of this world, okay, and the power of Jesus. Again, I told you there's a lot of scripture. Matthew 21, we're going to read 1 through 11. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage of the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples to them, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately," listen to this, "immediately you're going to find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. A couple thoughts for us today. Again, I had a ton of scripture, but I want you to see some things that I believe are important for us in the season that we're walking in. The first point is this. Jesus demonstrates his power during adversity. They're looking to kill Jesus, okay? They're looking to kill him. That's what we just read. They're looking for a reason to do this. And yet Jesus shows up right on time. He didn't avoid Jerusalem, but rather he strategically shows up right on time to rescue the world, to offer salvation to all who will receive him. And he does the same for you, my friends, as well. The same for us as well. Now, I will say this. It might not be on our time. It might not be in our time. Look, the crowd was waiting. As we just read, they were even questioning in John 11:56. They were saying, where is he? Is he going to come? Is he going to show up? And some of us are asking the same question today. Where is he? I want to know the answer of the same. And I want you to know that the answer, in fact, is the same. Jesus shows up right on time. And here's what's so amazing about this, gang. If you look at the timeline of what is going on and why Jesus showed up on this particular day, it's 4 days before the Passover. Do you know what else happened 4 days before the Passover? The sacrificial lamb was brought into Jerusalem and was left for public display for 4 days so that people could examine to see if the lamb was pure, to see if the lamb had no spot or blemish. The people had to observe the lamb. The Jews, before they could sacrifice the lamb, he had to be brought, he had to be presented in on this day, the same day that Jesus comes in. He had to be visible and inspected just as Jesus was for the next 4 days. This is a powerful thing. I want you to know, those of you who are saying, has God forgotten us through this? I want you to know this. No, in fact, he has not. I want you to know this fact. God is always right on time, and Jesus will make his appearance to you right on time. And that's some good news for us. So what is the power that he demonstrates? Well, the first thing for us is his power of omniscience. He knows. He knows what's going on. Consider this. He goes into this busy city on this very busy day, and he says, you're going to find a donkey and a colt. Most people read right over this. This was a crazy busy time. Jerusalem was very busy, and most likely this donkey wasn't just randomly standing there. It wasn't just sitting there waiting. Donkeys were being used all the time during this time. This was most likely a business that this individual had. Folks were bringing stuff in for Passover, and they would use beasts of burden. They would rent them out. And so here today, do you know that in a busy time, it's hard to find some popular items? How many of you tried to find toilet paper? You ain't gonna find a whole lot. I went to a store yesterday and I found a toilet paper, but it was probably something that, like, maybe Dave Bishop, that you might understand over there. It was some crazy brand I'd never heard about. It was like wax paper. Anyway, you know, you sanitizer, bleach. It's hard to find. When there are busy times, it's difficult to find things. And consider this. Imagine going to a farmer during the time of harvest and saying, hey, can I use your combine? Okay, this is a busy time of year, and yet there's a donkey and there's a colt. It's odd. And this colt, it's odd that the colt's just sitting around. It begs the question, why was it being kept? We're going to find out a little later that it's very able to be used. It bore the weight of Jesus. It bore the weight of their cloaks. It was able to be used. And yet, for some reason, this person who owned the donkey, this person who owned the colt, they weren't in action that day. I wonder why that was. Moreover, I wonder how Jesus possibly knew this. Was this a setup? I don't think we can see that. Jesus, not only he knows what's going on, but check this out. He has always known what's going on. In fact, for this very event, Matthew ties it to a prophecy that had come in Zechariah, his time, as he prophesied in chapter 9, verse 9, where he told you that this event was literally going to happen. Jesus knew not only at the very second what was going on in every street corner, what was going on in every business, in every heart. He has known this for hundreds of years. He knows everything. And he also knows that the same voices cheering him on, "Save us, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," are the same ones in a few days who are going to be saying, "Crucify him, give us Barabbas." And yet, knowing that fact, he still comes. You see, church family, what I want you to understand is that God knows, Jesus knows your failures in your past. He knows your weaknesses and failures and sin right now, and he knows everything that you're going to do in the future, and yet he still wants to make an appearance in your life and offer to you eternal salvation. Which brings me my second point today. Jesus demonstrates his peace during adversity. Yes, he knows what's going on. Yes, he's always known what's going on. I tell you this, I had an event happen a few years ago. And maybe some of you saw this event, maybe not. But I was goaded into taking part in a donkey basketball game. It was a fundraiser for the school district. And I really didn't want to do it. But the sheriff came and asked if I'd be part of that team. And I said, you know, because of my commitment to the community, I thought to myself, I really shouldn't turn it down. After all, what's the worst that could happen? And then I met Little Buckaroo. One of the smaller donkeys was Little Buckaroo. And I didn't know that donkeys could have size complexes. But this one obviously had a size complex. And I also didn't know that donkeys could be jerks. But this one was a jerk. And every time I would try to mount Little Buckaroo would take off and leave me dragging behind. So I tried every different thing. And finally, I just draped myself over Little Buckaroo. And I want to tell you folks, Little Buckaroo lived up to Little Buckaroo's name. My daughter has been talking to us last week about our dog. And I was doing something with a dog. And she asked me the question, are animals in heaven? And as I thought about the answer, a thought came to mind. I guarantee Little Buckaroo won't be. They are known to buck, okay? It's just part of what's in them. That's what they do until they're broken. And here we find a donkey that had never been broken. This colt had never been ridden. You know what's supposed to happen? Most likely it should have acted like Little Buckaroo. Until Jesus shows up. You see, some of us are thinking that the situation that we're facing should make us freak out, should make us buck, should make us go around. And that's what a lot of people are doing, except those who have Jesus as Lord of their life. They're going to recognize that the authority of Jesus Christ brings us peace in the midst of adversity. There's no need for us to buck. There's no need for us to freak out. We can rest and allow Jesus to make his appearance in our life. And I know a lot of people are saying, why in the world? We want Jesus to come into our Jerusalem right now, but we want him to ride a war horse. We want him to come and just wipe out and devastate everything that opposes us. And yet, why a donkey? Why not a war horse? I want you to know that that day that Jesus is going to ride a war horse will come. The book of Revelation tells us that. But this king is a king of peace. And he's fulfilling prophecy in Zechariah 9:10, who says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, from the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. I want you to know that he is doing kingly actions. Kings would ride in on times of peace upon a donkey, not a war horse. And he's doing a battle that is far beyond our earthly abilities to war. He was making a spiritual conquest for our eternal peace, demonstrating His omnipotence and His power. One other really cool thing, really, really cool thing that I found as I studied for this, is that often foreign emissaries would send gifts of appeasement to appease wrath ahead of them on donkeys. Genesis 33, Jacob does that with his brother Esau. His brother Esau is mad at him for good reason. And so Jacob loads up a donkey with all kinds of gifts and sends it on ahead to appease the wrath of Esau. 1 Samuel 25, Abigail does the same thing to David. Loads up a donkey full of gifts and sends it ahead to David to appease wrath. And I want you to know, for us, Jesus comes in on a donkey to appease the wrath, the righteous wrath that God has against sin and rebellion. I don't know what that was. Somebody hit a button somewhere. Boom! Sorry about that, gang. The second witness of God's gift to mankind is, this is the second time that Jesus had rode a donkey. I want you to think about this. Jesus rode a donkey coming in here in the triumphal entry, and Mary rode a donkey going to Bethlehem to bring God's gift of redemption to mankind, the gift of God to us. Which brings me to my third and final point today, is this, that Jesus demonstrates His authority during adversity. Okay, they're planning on killing both Jesus and Lazarus, and still Jesus comes. Don't forget that fact. In the face of death, Jesus shows up in power, in peace, and in authority, and He is entering as a King of peace. Not only is Jesus demonstrating a profound gift of His power of omniscience, because He knows every detail of what's going on in the city and every individual's life, of peace with the animals and with the crowd, but also of authority. I mean, the owners, think of the owner's question. Don't you think you should say, what are you doing with my donkeys? You know, guy walks up. If someone just walked up and got in your car, you're at Walmart or you're at the county market, you're doing something and you're there and someone just walks up and gets in your car, are you just going to say, hey, what are you doing? And they say, oh, the Lord has need of it. Oh, okay, that's cool. You know, how are you going to respond to that? Not even just your old junker car. I mean, your nice ride. Your brand new car. You haven't even broken it in yet. Just shows up. Hey, Lord has need of this. You see, the reason it's different there. You know, if you had a company car and some rando walks up and says, I have need of this, you're going to, look, show me the money. You're going to do one of these things. Most likely this was a business. No reservation, no payment. Yet a simple obedience and adherence to the word of the Lord. The Lord needs them. I want you to know that the authority of Jesus is recognized by all. God is the Prince of Peace, and that means that He is gentle. And if you want His peace in the midst of a crazy time, all you have to do is welcome in this gentle King. I know we want the horse. And it will come one day. But for now, He offers. He doesn't force. I'm going to ask the entire worship team to come up. And I'd like to kind of go back into that chorus that we sang just a few minutes ago about there is no greater name to this. I'm throwing a curveball to the worship team and just going to give them a moment to get ready. They didn't prepare this, but I really feel I want to end with that chorus once again. Because here I want to get to the application of what this means for us. What does the King of Peace mean for us? In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, our verse for today, he says, though He was in the form of God, He didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the form of what, gang? A servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even a death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that's above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What does that mean for us? Two things happen after Jesus comes into the temple. Number one, He tears it up. He turns over tables and he casts out the money changers. He cleanses the temple. And by the way, this is the second time. When he began his ministry, he cleansed the temple. And now he's getting ready to conclude his ministry. He cleanses the temple and he says, my house should be a house of prayer. He does this and then the blind and the lame come to be healed. Why weren't the blind and the lame coming to be healed prior to that? Because of what they had made the temple. I've been saying to you for the past several weeks, God has given us a divine reset. And I pray that as you're at your homes, I'm kind of glad for this time. And I pray that we won't waste this. And I pray that if nothing else, that our time, this would allow us to begin to get comfortable worshiping God in our house. We don't need this building. And the time may come when either through persecution or through destruction or through something that we're not able to worship together in a building, but we can worship in our homes. Prayer. This is a time of prayer. And the second thing that Jesus says is kind of crazy. He curses a fig tree that bears no fruit. I believe two things that God wants for us in this day and in this hour is to pray and to bear fruit, to literally become the church. Jesus wants to make an appearance in your life. You can go ahead and start. Even if you're not interested in Him, He loves you. He wants to come into your life with His power, with His peace, and His authority. And that may mean that He turns over some tables in your life, but it's okay. He has done that to us. I personally believe that these times have already turned over some of our tables. And if we would heed the call to respond, not to this Jesus on a war horse that's coming, but to the King of Peace, coming humbly upon a cold. Even if we've been unable to see God's hand in our lives, maybe having tables overthrown are the distraction that He's driven out. And that's what we really needed to draw close to Him and have our eyes healed and our spiritual walk restored. Maybe we've been like that owner of the colt and we've been guarding a part of our life and refusing anyone to have it. There's some people here today listening, you've never given your best to anything or to anyone. Well, I believe that the one who's worthy to receive it has showed up. He's looking at you face to face and saying this, I have need of you. If you would respond to Him, that which you have been withholding from everyone, I believe you're going to see God's power, God's peace, and God's authority in your life. We're called to bear fruit now like never before. You are here for a reason. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Would you ponder that as we just declare the greatness of God? And we sing this chorus a few times as we conclude our service. There is no greater name than this, gang.
There is no greater name than this. No greater name than this. Oh, the name of Jesus. There is no higher love than this. No higher love than this. Oh, the love of Jesus. There is no greater name than this. No greater name. There is no higher love than this, no higher love.
our best, that to which we've held back from everything else, Lord, we offer to you. And we welcome you into our lives and declare you as Lord of all. Use us for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. God.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.